This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, April 14th. Well, the wheat market's getting a bounce back as corn continues to hold supports very well, and wheat market kind of tagging along with that, basically trading an inside day, but not getting any follow through to the disappointing performance from Monday. Corn markets responding to dryness in Brazil, which appears to be intensifying. The forecasts that had called for some moisture have removed that moisture. So Brazil is headed into some critical phases of the growing season for their second season corn crop, and it looks like the dryness is prevailing. They're also, because of the late corn plantings, it pushes the whole season back, obviously, but the key pollination time period deeper into the time window when you tend to have a significant drop in moisture levels anyway. We knew that we were going to be up against that with the late plantings. And the moisture situation, the dryness, appears to be becoming more entrenched, and it looks like that will continue to be the case following the normal seasonal weather patterns in Brazil. So this does not bode well for the corn crop. And I think that's why U.S. corn futures, cash corn around the world, is holding well, and even cash basis here in the U.S. just continuing to creep higher. Ethanol prices moving higher, so the demand continues to be there for corn, and yet, the South American crop, which is key to the exports coming out of South America, look to be in trouble. And this, we've gotten some sell signals in our own corn market and in the futures contracts, but we're not getting much follow-through from them. And yesterday was an important day for that, because you had that kind of spike high on Friday and looking like, well, that there's another potential sell signal. And then you did get some follow-through on Monday, but then yesterday you come back and you reverse back up. Started out weaker, getting some follow-through to the downside, and then the market comes back and pretty impressively gets back to the highs on the July contract, and of course December just pushing into a new high. And then on the night session, we're up another 6 or 7 cents. So we're into new contract highs on the deferred contracts, and we're pretty much at those contract highs on the front months. So the corn market not rolling over, not giving up, even with some pretty notable sell signals. And that's going to offer support to wheat, just simply because wheat is easily substituted as a feed grain, not only around the world, but here in the U.S. as well. And we've seen that. We've seen a bit more wheat feeding going on. And we're certainly seeing that around the world. So that's supporting the whole complex. And it's also what's helping to support Chicago versus Kansas City, and even versus Minneapolis to a point. Those spreads have widened quite a bit versus Kansas City. In Minneapolis, starting to hold its own with the dryness across the northern plains becoming further entrenched. There doesn't appear to be much rain on the horizon for the next couple weeks, so we're going to work our way through April in a continued very dry state. The longer range forecast showing some hints of rain, but that's a long-range forecast, and we all know how those go. But it's a pretty serious situation across, at least the eastern half of Montana, all of North Dakota, much of South Dakota, and virtually all of those southern Canadian prairies, which is the entire spring wheat crop, the entire Durham wheat crop, as far as the northern region is. And so this is helping to support Minneapolis and certainly putting it in more of a leadership position in the wheat space. In the southern plains, we've had quite a bit of rain over the last month or so, two major systems that did significant damage to the drought complex there. It hasn't removed it, and you still have the dry pockets in the far western plains, but it certainly has accelerated growth and the potential yields for the far southern plains, all the way up into Kansas for that matter. When you look at the weather maps, they were showing drought conditions all across the southern and central plains, at least on the topsoil now. They've virtually taken out Kansas and Nebraska, and of course further on south. So we're sitting in a fairly comfortable position there, except for the far western area. But the northern plains is starting to wreak some serious damage. And it's not just the grain potential there. It's also the cattle complex, where we're starting to see a significant amount of numbers moving off of pasture and moving into the auction yards across North Dakota in particular, but across the northern plains. If you don't have grass, you know they're going to go to town. So, you know, we're looking at this situation in the northern plains, which really, when you look at those maps, encompass much of Minnesota, and they creep pretty seriously into Iowa as well. So recent moisture has kind of backed that off a little bit, in particular for Iowa, but this is clearly worth watching, very importantly for corn and soybeans as well, that the dryness, which is right nipping at the heels of the major part of the western Midwest, is not going away. And you know, any, you miss a couple rains in the spring for the western Midwest, and suddenly you have that dryness creeping back in across that region. So this is very serious. You know, if the corn crop is in trouble in Brazil, and then you get the dryness moving into Iowa, Minnesota, it's already in South Dakota, that becomes a very serious problem, and it happens at the same time. So this, and the corn market already has sold for export more bushels than what USDA has projected. So obviously we're going to see an increase, a big increase, or price is going to have to ration. And the demand for corn has practically been insatiable. When you look at USDA's projections for acreage planting, it doesn't get us out of the woods for production, for ending stocks. We're still going to be looking at very tight ending stocks and stocks to use ratios, even with normal yields on the kind of acreage that is projected. So you got to find more acres, and you may well do that. If the spring is open and you get good planting conditions, you probably will pull a few more acres into corn from soybeans or from some other crop, because the prices are there. You know, clearly the market's trying to buy acres here. Corn is not backing off. Soybeans are not backing off. You're not going to get it in North Dakota, which is where I thought you would find those acres, you know, shifting from spring wheat to corn or beans. You know, the weather's just not going to allow that. So, you know, where they get it, it's going to have to come quickly, because it's not going to be the last acres that would be planted up in the north. It's going to have to be something nearby. So the prices are certainly giving that incentive, and we'll see if that happens. But I think we are on the cusp of something potentially huge in the grain space. And it'll be led by corn and soybeans, and wheat certainly will tag along. Any hint of continued dryness across the western Midwest, I think, just blows this thing wide open. The market has not backed off. You're sitting at contract highs after a long extended demand-driven bull market, record production of soybeans out of Brazil, and here we are. We're sitting at multi-year highs and contract highs as you head into the planting season. So the market's going to try to buy whatever acreage it can, but the bottom line is we're still in a very strong demand-driven market, and the weather does not look good in Brazil for corn, and we are just on, you know, we're in the planting season for U.S. crops, and here we go. We're in the growing season. So I think that breaks will be short-lived and well-supported until we feel assured of production, and that's once we get past pollination, which, you know, if you get a normal planting season, still puts us in mid to late April for corn. Mid to late July for corn, and late July, early August for soybean, just the normal pollination season. So I just don't see these markets backing away or failing until we get past that point, unless you just have ideal growing conditions heading into that. Then, yeah, the market's going to stall out. But you still need good yields until the end of the growing season. And last year, it was the late growing season that caught us, it wasn't really a flash drought. It was just this lingering dryness across Iowa, and the market really didn't pay attention until late. But and then it really took off. So I think this time around, we're already looking at dry conditions, you know, just again, nipping at the heels of the Midwest, already well entrenched across the northern plains. It wouldn't take much for that to expand into the broader Midwest. And you know, on top of a demand-driven bull market, I just see, you know, this is just a simmering fire, just waiting for a gust of oxygen to blow it up. And that is certainly the potential. The way to play it, just some out of the money cheap call options. You have your position on, and you see what happens. But that's the way to play a potential weather market, which I think certainly we are teed up for. And again, with already being in a bull demand driven market, any supply scare just blows the doors off of this grain complex. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.